2 Timothy chapter 4, and with it I'll read just the end of chapter 3, but I want to get into some of the verses in chapter 4, because now we come to an accumulation of what Paul speaks to Timothy about the Word of God. I promise you this, that if anyone can influence you so that your confidence in this book is shaken, then your life of joy and certainty as a Christian are ruined. And the portions that I'm reading you tonight are Paul's encouragement to Timothy about this very book from which we're reading. So I'll read you, just to combine the three, in verse 15 of chapter 3, and that from a child thou hast known the sacred writings, not the Holy Scriptures, because it's a little different word, and I purposely want to call it the sacred writings. It means the sacred letters, the ABCs of the Hebrew alphabet, the letters that make up the words, that make up the sentences, that make up the Word of God. It says that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, all Scripture, the word is similar, but it's not the same. But here we have the sacred writings, and now we have Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears, will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and turn aside unto fables. But be thou sober in all things. Again, we have evil ones, and we have Timothy exhorted to live a life in contrast to these evil ones, to the behavior of these that Paul is exposing, those that are going to depart from the things of God. But now, I want us to see how invaluable this book is. I cannot think of Christians coming to a preaching service without having a Bible in their hands. At one time, and I've been reading about this lately, they did not have numerous Bibles. They would have one giant Bible, and it was so valuable that they would chain it to the pulpit. And that is why Timothy is told to give attendance to reading. That's why it says in the book of Revelation, blessed are they that hear the words of this prophecy, because as I read the word of God to you, that is the way it was in the early church and in different times in the world's history. But now we have the Word of God, and let us rejoice in it. And this is what I want you to see about this Word of God. First of all, it is called the Holy Scriptures or the Sacred Writings. Now, there is that which is common and that which is sacred. And all of the world's great literature, if it is not this book, is common. What is of this book is sacred. That distinction is clearly made, even by the Jews and even by those that wrote religious literature, they knew that there was a distinction between what they wrote and what God here calls inspired. Therefore, these inspired writings, this scripture, and notice it, verse 1 in chapter 4, I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus and so forth, verse 2, preach the word. So here are three designations of the same thing. All of it is the Bible. It's the word of God. It's the writings. It is the scripture. But Paul refers to it once, twice, again. And it is the main weapon that is placed in Timothy's hand with which to attack the enemy. It is medicine with which to make God's people well. Think of any figure, think of any metaphor, and somewhere in the Bible, you will see that the scriptures are spoken of in that respect. It's a sharp two-edged sword. It is like a hammer. It's described in so many ways. It's the balm of Gilead. So whatever the need of man is, it is to be found in this book. But first of all, and this is what is emphasized to Timothy in verse 15. From a child, and that is a little baby, from a babe thou hast known the holy scriptures, the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So first of all, this book from which I've read to you tonight, it is containing words whereby thou mightest be saved. That's the way that Peter was spoken of concerning Cornelius. It said, go get Peter, and he will tell thee words whereby thou mightest be saved. And the words that Peter spoke to the household of Cornelius are now words that we have contained in this book. And therefore, when Peter was preaching the word, when he was imparting God's sacred writings to the household of Cornelius, it said, while he yet spake, the Holy Spirit fell on them. Why? Because this book is sufficient to save every man if he places his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Peter was preaching, the household of Cornelius heard God's way of salvation, discovered that salvation was in the Lord Jesus, and salvation was by faith. And while Peter was preaching, they placed their faith in Christ, and immediately they were saved. And that is what God told Timothy, first of all, about the Holy Scriptures, the sacred writings. It says, they are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And Cornelius was told, go and get Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou mightest be saved. And Peter had words of wisdom that would tell Cornelius and his household how to be saved. And then they individually placed their faith in this way of salvation, and they were saved. So what Paul said concerning the scriptures to Timothy, it is for the lost. Notice first of all, Timothy knew these things, but knowing God's word is not sufficient unless in that word you discover you are lost. But even though you're lost, God wants to save you, and salvation is set forth in the scriptures through faith, and then when you place your faith in Christ, then you're saved. But they're able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So, remembering this, inasmuch as we are ambassadors for Christ, inasmuch as we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, you must have this confidence that the scriptures are able to make men wise unto salvation. You need to add nothing to them. All you need do is preach the word, and if you give an illustration of it, it is simply that you are throwing light, making known through an illustration something that is contained in God's word, and it is not your illustration that saves a man. It is your illustration that pointed out a certain scripture and brought it to that man's understanding. And then he placed his faith in the scripture, and he was saved. So first of all, we must be assured that God's word is sufficient to save to the uttermost all that come unto God through Christ. It can make men wise. They place their faith in this wisdom of salvation, God's plan of salvation, and then they are saved. That's what he tells Timothy, first of all. They are able to make thee wise unto salvation. But now, look at verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. You say, I see. In verse 15, God's word was able to make a man wise unto salvation. But after that, God's word is able to make a man perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished to do the will of God and the work of God in the world out here. Isn't that remarkable? What if this were a book that just told you how to be saved? Why, that would be an immeasurable blessing from God. But this same book not only makes us wise unto salvation through faith in Christ, but also it contains every other precept, every other example, every other teaching to make us the men and women of God that we should be once we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet some are like this, and I thank God for those evangelical churches that preach the gospel every time you go there. Thank God for them. But the Lord Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And they fail in that respect. Once a man is saved, he is to become complete, perfect, mature. And that is why, having learned God's way of salvation through the Scriptures, then that same book is able to make that man everything as a man of God. He was a child of the devil. He was born again and became a child of God. And now, as a child of God, this Scripture is sufficient to make him everything that God wants him to be in his sight. You say, the same book? The same book. We do not go outside of this book for anything that is essential in the Christian life. I have hundreds of books. I thank God for them. I'm so thankful for the Pilgrim's Progress, Fox's Book of Martyrs, for all men that had wisdom, that had written commentaries. But this is the book that is inspired of God. And this is the book that we use in conjunction with other books. They are secondary. This is primary. This is inspired of God. They encourage us, explain it, get us to love the Word. But this book is that which makes us the men and women of God that we should be. So, having seen that, first of all, look at verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You say, well, I've read, and this morning we read about Adam begat Seth, and Seth begat Enosh, and Enosh, Methuselah begat Enoch, and Enoch begat. You read all of these begettings, you say, is that profitable? Ever so profitable. You read the genealogies in Chronicles. You read the histories of the kings. You read all of the information that is contained in this book, and God says it is profitable. And it depends on how you approach it and how you look at it. Any part of God's Word can be fascinating. There was a book written, The Fascination of the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is fascinating from beginning to end. And now we have the New Testament as well, because the Savior promised that Christ's followers would be guided into all truth by the Holy Spirit. So remember, there is no part of this book that you open and read that is unprofitable. Some of it is more valuable than other parts of it. You say, how would you say that? Because the Lord Jesus said it. He speaks about tithing mint, anise, and cumin. And he said, you have left undone the weightier matters of the law. You say, the Lord Jesus said there are weightier matters of the law. Yes, There are less weighty matters and there are weightier matters. But all of them are matters that have weight, and they are profitable, and at times some insignificant passage up till this time that you've been reading meant little to you. But then you read it and it becomes so important in your life. So remember that any page you turn to in this Bible that we read from, it is profitable. And now it enumerates what it's profitable for. It is profitable for teaching. This is what I've done since I've become a Christian. I have read this book and I've sought to understand its teaching concerning everything. I wanted to find out its teaching about heaven, how they came into existence, how the heavens stay in the right relationship to one another, what's going to happen to this universe. I've read in it about trees, from the cedar tree to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. I've read about the birds. I've read about things to eat. I've read about things that God forbade to eat. I've read about the buildings in which men are to worship. I've read the things that are forbidden that I am not to do to my neighbor. I've read the things that I am commanded to do to my God. And what I've tried to do is to learn the philosophy of this book, its teaching, and compare every other thing in life with what this book sets forth. And if it is not in harmony with this book, then I reject that of the world as false, and I understand that this is the teaching that God has told me is right. And our lives are to be controlled, and our philosophies are to be based upon the teachings of this book. Therefore, it says, this book is profitable for doctrine, that is, for teaching. About any subject, this book is profitable. But now, it says, it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, and let me add these things quickly, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Here is what we are liable to do unless we are given instruction. We read this, and especially a man that's a preacher, so when I take the word of God and read it, what I'm to do, I'm to teach others with it. I am to reprove them. I am to correct them. I am to instruct them in righteousness. But notice, that comes in chapter 4. In chapter 4, at verse 2, it says, you preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. In chapter 4, Timothy has learned the word, and he's preaching it to others. But in chapter 3, the word of God that is profitable is not for the people that Timothy is going to teach, but for Timothy himself, first of all. Do you understand? When it says, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ. The Scripture, first of all, is to Timothy, and then he is to experience the salvation that is in it through faith in Christ. And then, as a man of God, he is to consider all of it profitable for teaching, and that's teaching for Timothy. For reproof, for Timothy. For correction, for Timothy. For instruction which is in righteousness, for Timothy. And I'll show you that. Turn to chapter 4 in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 15. Be diligent in these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting, thy progress, may be manifest unto all. Take heed to thyself and to thy teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. You say, I understand now. First of all, Timothy is to make these things a part of himself. And when he does that, it says he will save both himself and them that hear thee. Remember this verse concerning Ezra. It said Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So he learned it, and then he personally did it, and then he taught in Israel statutes and judgments. Notice, take heed to thyself, it says, first of all. You take heed to yourself, you save yourself, and then you preach the word, and you save others from pitfalls and heartbreaks by preaching the truth of God to them as well. So now turn back to chapter 3 and 4. So Timothy, first of all, is to read this book that is profitable in all things. And first of all, it is profitable to Timothy. And before I teach you, I must be taught. And before I reprove you, I must be reproved. And before I correct you, I must be corrected. And before I instruct you in righteousness, I am to be instructed in righteousness. You say, then, what James says, not to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And the Lord Jesus speaks about hypocrites that say and do not. So what Paul does, first of all, is to impress upon Timothy the preciousness and value of this book for him personally as a man of God. And once it becomes a part of his being, then, in chapter 4, he can preach the word. All right, let me tell you a little bit about these words individually. It's profitable for teaching. I've told you about teaching. Concerning any subject, if you want to know how we are to look upon it, look upon creation, look upon the powers that be, anything that you want to know about, you search the scriptures and find what it teaches about them. And then, if you learn what God says about them, then it is profitable. But now it says this, for reproof. And I want to tell you about this word. This word and what they call the root of the word, you have combinations at times, but for brevity's sake, I'll just tell you the root meaning of the word. I'll give you an example of it. It says, reprove. You don't realize it, but in Matthew 18, it says, if your brother sins against you, go, tell him his fault. This is the same root word. Reprove him. You go, tell him his fault. Here is reproof. Your brother has sinned against you. You go and tell him his fault, but you tell him in the sense of reproving him. You tell him what he's done wrong. You explain to him how he has done wrong. That is reproof. Now, God's word does the same thing for us. We are to take it to heart, and so many times we are saved from heartbreaks and embarrassment if we will let the word of God reprove us, and we will take that reproof, rather than continuing in sin, have to have somebody like Timothy or Paul come and rebuke us and reprove us to our face. If we sin against our brother, then we should see that we've sinned and go and ask his forgiveness. But if not, then the brother comes and reproves us. He tells us our fault. And it says, if you hear him, then he's gained you. If your brother hears you, you have gained your brother. So it is to reprove people. So here is what I find, that even though I'm a child of God, I do not know the correct teaching about things, but God's word will teach me that. And then at times I sin against people, I err, and God's word will reprove me. It will tell me my fault. It will show me how I am wrong. So I, from the word, personally am reproved. And then from the word, I learned how to reprove others. Let me give you an example, because this is why the book is so valuable. You see the examples. You'll find that John the Baptist was put into prison for reproving Herod because he had his brother Philip's wife. And he reproved him. He said, you are sinning. Now, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And he would turn him to the Pentateuch and show him how God had forbidden this. And that is a reproof. All right. Another example is this. Notice, we have, first of all, one brother reproving another brother when the brother sins against him. Then we have a prophet, John the Baptist, reproving a king, a ruler in Israel, about a sin that he has committed. And this same root word is found in John 16:8, when it says, the Holy Spirit, when he comes in the world, will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. About the sin and righteousness and judgment, it will explain to them how they have sinned, why. It will explain those things. The Spirit of God will reveal them within your heart. So you have the Spirit reproving, you have a prophet reproving, and you have just an ordinary brother in Christ reproving another brother. So it's profitable for reproof. And it says, for correction. And this is so interesting, because if you saw a woman that was bowed down, walking around, and she was not able to upright herself, what would she need? You would say, why, she would need straightening out. And that is just the root meaning of this word. In Luke chapter 13, here is a woman who had been bowed down. She could not raise herself up, and she had been in that condition 18 years. And it said the Lord Jesus came and touched that woman, and the woman stood up straight, uprightly. This is the word here. It is for reproof. It is for correction. Here is a person that morally in their life is crooked, but God's word is able to straighten us out, to correct us, and then we can walk uprightly through life. You say, I see. Then God's word is not at times just to tell us soothing things and beautiful things and things about Christ. No. It's to tell you about your sins, the things you've done wrong. And it is to straighten you up because you've been bowed down because of some moral disobedience in your life. And God's word can straighten you up. But this is what is so sad, that some people will not accept the balm of Gilead when they're sad, and so they go through life with heavy hearts. And some who are crooked in their life will not read God's word, how to be straightened up, and they go through life bowed over, not able to rise up. And some will not acknowledge their sins, and therefore God's word that reproved them told them their faults. They will not accept this book that reproves them, and therefore they remain out of fellowship with man and with God. But this book is able to do all of those things, and it says, for instruction which is in righteousness, for training, for discipline which is in righteousness. If a person is bent over and he's wrong and he needs correction, then he also needs to be instructed in the right way, the way of righteousness that he should follow. And God's word is sufficient for all these things. So think, if a man is lost and he needs to be saved, what book are you going to use to save him? You say the Bible. If a man wants to know concerning philosophy, concerning truth, what book are you going to use? You say, I'm going to teach him from this book. If a Christian has sinned against you, what book are you going to use to reprove him? You say, why, this book. And if one is crooked, what book are you going to use to straighten him up? This book. And to let him maintain a life of discipline, righteousness, what book? You say, this book. You say, why, every way that I turn, I see that this book is necessary, and it is sufficient for all the needs that exist in sinners and in children of God. And the thing that is sad is this. Why do you need reproving? Why do you need rebuking? Why do you need correction? Why do you need instruction in righteousness? Because there is such a tendency in us to go astray. But what will straighten us out is the teaching of this word. It is profitable. So, if I want to be instructed, then this is the book to instruct me. If I'm crooked, this is the book that makes me straight. If I'm wrong, it will tell me just what I did wrong and how to get right. It will teach me the path of righteousness that I'm to follow my whole life long. And because of this, that is why Paul says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And therefore, if you come to me and I give a portion that is applicable to your condition, then it is profitable and it is right, because it is God's inspired word. Now, having told him that, look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Paul says, I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, And let me just get down to these words. Having told him all that, look at verse 2. Preach the word. Now, listen to the words here and the words I told you in chapter 3. It's profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, what else is it good for? Verse 2 of chapter 4. Preach the word. Be urgent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. You say, why? It spoke about doctrine and teaching in chapter 3. It speaks about teaching in chapter 4. It spoke about reproof in chapter 3, and it speaks about reproof and rebuke in chapter 4. You see? So the thing that Timothy needed for himself in chapter 3, having applied it to his own need, now God says, you preach the word to others. There is nothing worse than a man, you know, whose life is unclean, that he's a hypocrite, and he's reproving and rebuking you, and you say to him, physician, heal yourself. And just as Paul says in Romans, you who teacheth a man should not commit adultery. Do you commit adultery? And so if your life is crooked and unclean, you first of all, in chapter 3 as Timothy, you have to take heed to yourself. And having taken heed to yourself, then you can preach the word to others. And this is the charge that Paul is giving Timothy. And now the time is gone, and we'll continue on it next week. But, dear child of God, be assured that this is God's word. It is a foundation that shall never perish. Let us pray. Now, Father, we marvel at this book that we've known from our childhood, some later in life. But our God, the thing that we have known about it, we are so thankful that you bring it to our attention again and again. It's profitable. It is inspired. It can give the heart everything that it needs. Our Father, let us never be taken away from this book, but let us trust it completely, because thy Son trusted it completely, because it is your inspired word, our Father, and it's profitable. Let us realize this, that it become a conviction, something of which we are persuaded, and that no man can change our minds concerning it. So bless these teachings to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.